John chapter 17. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy, of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them."
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you here. If you haven't met me before, my name is Dilan Jersey. I'm one of the pastors here. A special thank you for the choir. Thank you for leading us in this beautiful song. For Kay and Katie for helping us through. And a special thanks for Howard and Jessica, who come from another church to help us. We're still in a bit of work behind the scenes trying to get them over here. So we'll see how that works. Just before I start, just to remind you that the Good Friday, next Friday, so it's at 9 a.m. And the Good Friday offering, if you have seen your newsletters, is going to a group called Destiny Rescue, which is working on rescuing children from sexual exploitation. So you can do that online, or you can give on Friday, and the whole Good Friday offering will go straight to them. So please keep that in mind. Allow me to pray before we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for the beautiful truths that we have sung this morning. Lord, as we come to reflect on your Word, which was just read to us, we pray, Lord, that you open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, and Lord, help us to, Lord, be transformed by the word that you have given us so freely, so that your name will be honored in and through us. We ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick question for you to maybe talk to the person next to you. How would you feel if you came to know that someone had prayed for you? Just have a chat to the person next to you. How would you feel if you came to know that someone had prayed for you? All right. I'm going to share a few things. How would you feel? How would you feel? Glad? Blessed? Humbled? Sorry? It's the unity that we share. Sorry? Must remember to thank them. Being loved. More people are praying. Connected. Absolutely. Yes. Encouraged. Isn't it? Encouraged. Well, that's what we will all get to know. Very important. All right. I think you're waving your hat out back. Very important. Somebody else as well. Humbled. Yes, yes. Loved. All right. They keep coming. The best thing that someone can do, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So keep that in mind as we think about today's message. Because that's what we hear from John chapter 17. The longest prayer that is recorded of Jesus, we are told that Jesus prayed for you and for me. Jesus prayed for you and for me. In verse 1 in John chapter 17, Jesus looks up to heaven and he says, Father, the time is up. The hour is here. He was about to be arrested, interrogated, flogged, mocked, stripped, and spat upon. He was about to face this unimaginable, most excruciating death of human history. He would have been anxious, worried, afraid, feeling lonely, sad and abandoned and betrayed. But in the midst of all this that was going on, what does Jesus do? He prays for you and for me. Now, this is called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Because like the high priest back in the Old Testament, Jesus mediates between us and God. He intercedes on our behalf to his Father. And according to Hebrews chapter 7, even now Jesus is praying, interceding on our behalf in heaven as a great high priest who lives forever. So in the time remaining, what we're going to do is we're going to think about three questions from this passage. Who is praying? Who is prayed for? our identity. The first one is the identity of Jesus. And what did he pray? The content. Those are the three headings that we are going to look at. Now imagine one day you are sipping a cup of tea and maybe you go and check your letterbox if you still do that, and you get a letter from the Buckingham Palace to tell you, or maybe the Prime Minister's office or your boss, there's a letter to tell you that he or she prayed for you. You'd be quite chuffed, won't you? Delighted and honored, thankful, and also quite humbled, the things that we discussed earlier. And we might look them up. Who is this person who is praying for me? What sort of a person is he? In these opening verses of Jesus' prayer, we hear that Jesus is praying for God to be glorified, honored in what is about to happen to him on the cross. You see, the cross that Jesus died on is not a means for glory. It is actually where God's glory is displayed. It was on the cross that Jesus displays God's power, his love, his wisdom, and his care for us. But in these verses, we get to know the identity of Jesus as well, don't we? Jesus is God the Son, who has come from the Father, the second person of the Trinity. He is the one who has all authority given to him. The one through whom we all can have eternal life, the only person who can give eternal life with God. The one who brings glory to God by completing the work, the mission that was given to him, the mission of saving, rescuing, redeeming people from hell. And verse 5 reminds us that Jesus is the one with eternal glory. The one who existed from eternity past with God the Father, sharing his glory from eternity. And we read in Philippians chapter 2, don't we, that he is the very nature God, equal with God in every way, yet he humbled himself, took on the nature of a servant. And here he is requesting the Father to restore him back to the glory that he had before. And we know, living on this side of the cross, that Jesus ascended into heaven and he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father with the full glory and honor. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is the glorified one, isn't he? This is the Jesus who prayed for you and for me 2,000 years ago. How special is that? But who is he praying for? What is our identity? In other words, who is a Christian? Who is a follower of Jesus? See, Jesus gives us a bit of a description of that too, doesn't he? Christians are taken out of the world by God, chosen out of the world. God has rescued us, redeemed us from this dark world, and as we saw a few weeks ago from the book of Ephesians, God chose us in Jesus from before time began. Why? Not because we look so pretty and amazing. No, because he loved us. He loved us with eternal love. We are sinners, rescued, saved by God's grace and love. And Christians belong to the Father. They're yours, Jesus says. They're yours. And those who belong to God the Father, those who are rescued from the world, and we are told that they are given to Jesus. Did you hear that? You and I are a gift to Jesus. And what does Jesus do with this gift? He reveals God to us. See, Jesus told a few chapters ago in John chapter 14 to Philip. Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father. He says, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. See, we see God's true nature, His character, His power, His love, His glory, His wisdom in Jesus. In other words, Christians are those who know God and has a relationship with God through Jesus. And Jesus has given them God's word, His promises, His commands, His warnings, His covenants. Christians are those who have accepted God's word and obeyed God's word. Christians are those who have believed in Jesus. That He has come from God. He is God's Savior and He died on a cross for our sins and rose back to life. And as we saw back in verse 2, to those who believe in Jesus, now Jesus gives what? Eternal life. And later in verse 24, that's what Jesus prays for, doesn't He? And He says, that we would be with Jesus, where Jesus is, seeing Him face to face, enjoying His glory, seeing His glory. Christians are those who get to spend eternity with Jesus. But as we read through this prayer, we realize another important aspect or a privilege of being a Christian, isn't it? Christians are those who are being prayed for by Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't save us and rescue us and then say, okay, here's a ticket for heaven. All right, that's it. No, He takes the responsibility to care for them like a good shepherd until we get there. He takes the responsibility to make us fully fit for heaven. He intercedes for those whom entrusted to Him by the Father. So what does He pray? What does He pray? The content of His prayer. The very first thing that Jesus prays for His disciples, His followers, is for protection, isn't it? For protection. If you look at verse 11, Jesus says, once He's departed, the Christians, His followers, will be on their own. They will remain in the world on their own. So what does He ask God to do? He says, protect them. Protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one. If you look down to verse 21 to 22, He's praying the same prayer, right? They're praying for unity. Now, what is the connection between unity and protection? I think there is a profound connection there, right? When people are rescued from this dark, perishing world and saved by Jesus, what does He do? He doesn't let us go on our own way. No, what does He do? He brings us into the church. The church becomes a refuge, a fortress, a place of safety against the schemes of the devil. The only way Christians can stand against the devil and his schemes is if they are united, if they're in the church together. Because Christians are safe in a community because Christians can encourage one another in God's word. We can pray for one another when we are struggling. They can help those who are struggling walk alongside them. They can correct wrong beliefs. When we sing and worship God together, we can build each other up. And this is not rocket science. An army of soldiers is stronger and powerful than just one lone soldier, right? And I guess that's why Jesus is asking God to protect the unity of the church. Asking God to protect the church from things that causes disunity. Things like jealousy, hatred, friction, anger, lying, pride, selfishness, unforgiving spirit, gossip, impatience. I mean, the list could go on, right? Things that divides us. So if you want to stand against the schemes of the devil, it is important that you are part of a church. Don't run on your own. Come to church, be part of a church, and work hard at being united in Jesus. United in Jesus. Don't ignore church. Now look at verse 14. When Christians start living, Jesus says, the word, they will live according to God's word. Trusting and obeying Jesus. And for that, Jesus says, the world will hate Christians. They'll be persecuted, rejected, mocked, put in prison, and treated badly. Some even be executed. Because they believe in Jesus. We hear stories from all around the world, don't we? Churches being burned, Christians being persecuted, their possessions being lost, and some even being killed for their faith in Jesus. And you see, Jesus recognizes the one behind such hatred against Christians is the evil one, the devil. And this is what we saw a couple of weeks ago from Ephesians chapter 6, didn't we? That we are in a spiritual battlefield. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil one. And Jesus says the answer to such persecution, to such hatred or opposition is not to be taken out of the world. No, he says, for God to protect us from the evil one as we go through suffering and persecution for the sake of our faith. And again, as we saw from Ephesians chapter 6, we can stand against the evil one, the devil, by the power of God, only by the power of God, by putting on the full armor of God. Because as we do that, we are just standing, right? The way Christians fight is not going to battle and shooting and fighting. No, we are to stand with the full armor on. And when we do that, God goes to fight for his people. And Jesus prays for you and me for protection from disunity and protection from the evil one. And the second thing that Jesus prays for is that we might have joy. We might have joy. It is a recognition that living in the world, in this fallen world, even as Christians, there'll be so many things that will zap the joy out, that will suck the joy out of Christians' life. There'll be persecution, loneliness, sickness, death, natural disasters, wars, financial hardship, anxiety about the future. So verse 13, he looks at his disciples and asks the Father, Father, give them the full measure of my joy within them. This is not a joy that is just out there. This is a joy that is inside Christians. Not half, not three quarters, not 99.9% joy. No, this is joy, full measure of joy. And it is the joy of Jesus Himself. What is the joy Jesus is talking about here? It's the joy of salvation, isn't it? Joy of salvation. Joy of knowing God loves us. And that we belong to Him. Joy of knowing that there is now nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Joy of knowing that we are all forgiven and there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The joy of knowing that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Joy of knowing that our eternity is secure in Jesus. And the joy of knowing that one day this sickly, sinful, broken, falling apart bodies will be replaced by a glorious body like the body of our Lord Jesus. We need such joy, don't we? We need so many reasons. So all those reasons, the joy of salvation to be in our heart, because there are so many things that will suck the joy out of our lives. In those times, Jesus prayed that our joy will not just be there, but it'll be overflowing. Will be known to everyone else. And third, Jesus prays for our sanctification. For our sanctification. To be sanctified means to be made holy. To be purified. To be set apart. Or to be refined or reformed. To be like purified, like gold is purified. And how does that happen? Jesus asks the Father to sanctify them, sanctify us by the truth. And what is the truth? Your word is the truth. See, the way God purifies us, makes us holy, is by His word. The more we spend time in God's Word, the more we absorb God's Word, God's truth into our life, it is going to be reflected in the way we think, in the way we talk, in the way we live, in the way we approach life circumstances, right? As we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God's Word is useful to teach us, to rebuke us when we are going the wrong way, to correct us and train us in righteousness. I hope you are taking the advantage of the reading plan that we suggested at the beginning of a couple of weeks ago, working through John's Gospel. Because we are preaching through John's Gospel, passages from John's Gospel this Easter. Fawcett and I, we have enjoyed reading through each chapter every morning. And I know some of you are doing that because I follow you on your YouVersion app. Well done. Keep doing that. Immerse yourself in God's Word. Because as we do, God has begun a work of refining, transforming us. And the goal of this sanctification is not just to make us fit for heaven, but to make us witnesses of Him to the world around us, right? Jesus says that we are on a mission. We are on a mission. Just as Jesus was sent out from the Father, now Jesus sends His followers, He sends us to the world with a message, the good news of Jesus. You see, if people are to believe our message, our lives must reflect the message that we are taking, right? Our lives must reflect that message that Jesus can save, that Jesus can redeem, restore, and mend broken lives. Is that the message that people are seeing when they see your life, my life? And to this end, Jesus finishes His prayer by asking the Father to make us more like Jesus, more like Him. That His love will be in us and flow through us. That Jesus will be not just outside. Jesus is not just the optional extra that we take on. No, that Jesus is inside us, living in us, working through us. Just I myself will be in them. As the Apostle Paul prays or desires of the Galatian church, he says, I long, I wait, I'm waiting for Christ to be formed in you. Christ to be formed in you. In other words, what is Jesus praying for? He's praying that we become more and more like Jesus in ever increasing glory. The more we look at Jesus, the more we get to know Jesus, the more we read about Jesus, the more we love Him, we will become like Him. And this transformation work is the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And we must have the confidence that God will do this work until the day Jesus returns. Isn't it amazing, friends, that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the whole universe, prayed for you and for me, for protection, for joy, for sanctification. A couple of application points before we finish. See, Jesus didn't save us from hell and said, okay, now you're all on your own. I have done enough. No, He prayed for you and for me. And He continues to pray for us. For this, what should be our response? Our response should be a response of thankfulness, isn't it? Don't take it for granted. Be grateful, be thankful for the protection, the sanctification work that He has begun, the joy that He can give you because of Jesus. Trust in Him, continue to follow Him. Second, if Jesus prayed for us. If Jesus thought it was important to pray for others, don't you think it is imperative that we pray for one another as well? So we must take time to pray for one another. Pray for our families. Pray for friends. Pray for those who are sitting around us in the church. Pray for missionaries. Pray for future generations. Pray for those who haven't even believed yet. Pray for protection. Pray for the unity of the church, protection from the evil one. Pray that God would fill them with joy. Pray that God would continue to sanctify them through His word, and pray that God would form Christ in each one of us. Oh, praying, thinking about praying for one another, could we just do that now? Pray for the person next to you. Take a couple of moments to pray for the person next to you. Pray for protection from the evil one. Pray for unity. Pray for joy. Pray for sanctification. Pray for Christ to be formed. Could we do that for a couple of moments? Let's pray for the person next to us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that you love us so much. You didn't just save us from hell, but Lord, you care for us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for praying for us 2,000 years ago. Thank you for praying for us even now. Lord, how amazing to know that. And help us not to take your prayers for granted. Thank you for the protection. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the work of sanctification. Thank you. It is your desire that all of us, in all of us, Christ should be formed. Lord, as you do that, may we love you, may we serve you, may we live for you. We ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.